welcome you to our Ash Wednesday service. We do have a few announcements. We will be moving into the Lenten rotation for Bible studies and things starting next week. So March 4th will be the first of the Bible studies with a meal before. 6 o'clock will be the meal. About 6:30 or so we'll start the Bible study. I'll be here the first week, and then I'll be rotating through the other churches, so you'll have some of the other folks coming in to lead you in the Bible studies. And this year, we're going to be kind of focused on questions that pastors get quite a bit, and so you'll have some interesting topics being talked about, some maybe questions that you've had and whether or not you've been able to talk through them with anybody. It'll be a good time for that. We do have Monday Thursday service April 9th at 7 p.m. with communion, and then Good Friday service again at 7 on the 10th, and then we'll have our Easter services as we normally do. Moving into Lent here after today, we still do have some of the other things that we'll have. The next cemetery cleanup will be March 1st, and then again the barbecue chicken meal that you can sign up for on Sundays. That meal will be on the 7th from 4 to 6. So keep some of those things in mind. Have I missed any announcements? If not, then let's turn to our first hymn, number 599. Of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant to you, being penitent, pardon and remission of all your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first reading comes from the second chapter of Joel. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. The second reading comes from 2 Corinthians. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. Here ends our readings.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This is the word of the Lord. Now let us turn to our second hymn, number 629. Please be seated. Here on Ash Wednesday, we kick off the season of Lent. And every season of Lent, we focus on certain things, repentance and mourning our sins, and focus on what the problem was that caused God Himself to have to put into action his plan for salvation. And in these readings that we've read today, there is a focus And that focus is on the mystery of our redemption. The mystery of our redemption is an interesting thing because we've become accustomed as Christians to just kind of understand for the most part what's going on. We're sinners. God's not a sinner. God can have no sin near him. And so Jesus comes to save us. But this kind of calls for a balance in our thinking. And I want to point out a few things and then an extra thought for us as we move into Lent, where normally we either give something up or at least we do something for these days of Lent that help us to refocus ourselves in the time leading up to Easter. In our first reading, Joel gives us a word from God, where God shows his willingness to lovingly receive us back into his presence, even though we're sinners. And Paul later talks about this idea of us being sinners against God, and he talks about it in a way that identifies us correctly in our sin as being enemies of God. And so we can't overlook this fact that God is a God who cares for his enemies when we are against him in our sin. So much so, with such love, that he wants us to be in a relationship with him again. And Joel makes it clear in this passage that we've read that God wants repentance from all of his people. He says, "Assemble the elders, children, nursing infants, bridegrooms and brides, priests and ministers of the Lord, regular folks, church folks, kids so young that they don't even know what's going on, they can't understand, bridegrooms and brides who, especially in that culture, have better things to think about, busyness, planning." It's interesting the way Joel lists the people to gather together to repent. All these people can come to God in repentance because God is jealous, Joel says, for his people. Now, we think of jealousy as something that we're not supposed to be, and we're not supposed to be jealous for stuff that we don't have. But jealousy is a good thing if you think about it in terms of being jealous for your spouse, wanting your spouse not to have any emotional or physical connection with someone else. God is like that with us. God loves us in such a way that he doesn't want us to be pulled away from him. And he's filled with righteous jealousy when Satan and the world tempt us away from him, and when we in our flesh choose to go after those things rather than him. But despite all this, God does desire that all of his people, young and old, great and small, no matter whether you work in ministry or not, he wants all of his people to return to him, stay focused on him. In our second reading, Paul implores us, he says, to be reconciled to God on Christ's behalf. And then he breaks it down a little bit in a way that's good for us to think about, especially here on Ash Wednesday. After all, Christ, who knew no sin, became the essence of sin so that we can be redeemed. Now, that is such a weighty idea that God himself, who had no sin, who was the perfect lamb, decided to leave his glory behind so that we can be redeemed. And that great act of mercy and love demands a response from us. And interestingly, in the rest of Scripture, we see that our response doesn't do anything to add to our redemption. It doesn't do anything to make our redemption better. What could we possibly add to God's perfect plan of salvation that's perfectly executed by Christ? Can't add anything to that. But such a cosmically significant thing done for us, it does deserve a response. And in the rest of Scripture, Jesus does tell us what that response should be. Repent and believe. Repent and believe is, I don't deserve this at all. Thank you. And then letting the cosmic weight of what's been done for you drive your belief, build up your faith. If we move to our gospel reading, it gives us a little bit more detail on what this type of repentance ought to look like. We are gifted righteousness. We don't deserve that. And so when we live in this righteousness, we shouldn't live in this righteousness in a way that makes it look like we do deserve it. Instead of making a public show of the things that we are doing to try to build up our own faith, and in doing all of that, we call attention to ourselves, we should be humble, realizing that our repentance doesn't strong-arm God into giving us righteousness. We've already received righteousness from him in our baptism as a total gift. So we ought to live in a way that lives in that righteousness humbly, realizing that our reward for doing nothing to merit that righteousness is an eternity in right standing with God, and it's totally outside of our control or our merit. In comparison, those who do call attention to themselves to try to say, look how righteous I am, Jesus very clearly says that attention they get is their only reward for that. The attention that they can build up, the following that they can get, is all they're going to get for all of their hard work. Instead, Jesus says, God knows the secret things that you do where no one else can see. So, anoint your head and then wash it so that no one can tell. Pray in secret. Now, this isn't because this faith that we have is a private thing. It's because this faith that we have shouldn't lead us to do things that tempt us into living like we deserve the righteousness we've been gifted by God. And so this brings us to today. Here on this Ash Wednesday, we've just heard the good news. We've just heard the news that God had a perfect plan to save us, which was perfectly executed by Christ. Though we're God's enemies, he doesn't want us to stay that way. He takes this plan, puts it into action, and the things done on the cross are so cosmically power-shifting that we can now have the Holy Spirit live in us and be in right standing with God forever. So, in response to that, not adding anything to it, we want to focus this Lenten season on repentance, the thing that Jesus says to do in response to hearing the gospel. Repent and believe. Since repentance is a highlight of the Lenten season that we're entering, we will be talking about it. But I want you to know that this repentance itself actually shows us a little bit more of the depth of God's goodness towards us. God loves us so much that we don't need to just repent of the things that we do wrong and then stay stuck continually doing those things. Interestingly, studies that we're doing on the human brain are actually finding some very, very important things. Our brains can be rewired, but we can't rewire our brains ourselves. A lot of you know that Lisa and I have hosted some orphans from Eastern Europe before. And this stuff has been in our training for those kids, some of whom are 16 or so, and if they get angry, they act like they're two. because they've never been brought from that first or second stage to a higher stage of thinking. Their brain activity in response to anger hasn't been brought out of an infant state or a toddler state. The same day that we were having training on that, I was reading a paper for Pastor Hours, and his paper was on the same exact thing with grief and dwelling on grief and being helped by others through your grief. Your brain can actually be rewired. It's called neuroplasticity. Now, you can't do the rewiring yourself, but other people and interactions with them can help you. And I think if we take what we're seeing in the scientific evidence and we apply it back to what we're saying here and what we know to be true in the scriptures, I think this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit living in us will physiologically change our thought patterns and make it so that we don't have to stay stuck in our broken ways. The interesting thing about all this is that it takes a month or so of a couple hours a day or a couple minutes a day of focusing on something in a different way than what you had, and your brain can actually progress and be rewired. Now, if we take Lent, 46 days, not counting the Sundays, so 40 days, not counting the Sundays, 46 or so days, that's more than enough time for us to really knuckle down and focus on these things and let the Holy Spirit work in us. If God made our bodies, and we're just now finding out how some of them work, it doesn't change the fact that God has made our brains able to be rewired. We just so happen to know a little bit of how it's happening. But Paul says, think on these good things, and that will lead to change in you through the Holy Spirit. And this is a perfect time for us to do that. I see in all of that the goodness of God, that he doesn't just save us from our sins and offer us a way out and give that to us totally as a gift, but he also makes it so that in about the length of time of one Lenten season, if we spend time giving up something else, sleep maybe, I've given that up for Lent for 4.5 years, giving up something like that so we can focus ourselves, spending time with God in the scriptures, spending time with one another once a week, focusing on something that we would like to change about ourselves, and letting the Holy Spirit work in us. Just because we're picking it up in scientific evidence doesn't mean that it's not the Holy Spirit working in us. It's just proof that he is. So moving into this Lenten season, looking at this redemption that we've been given, looking at the good news that we hear, and knowing that our response to it ought to be repentance and belief, Lent is a perfect time for us to focus on those areas in our lives that we do fall short. And both scripturally and scientific evidence-wise, we know that in the Lenten season, we can be changed. The way the Bible puts it, the old person can be put to death in about that time. We won't be perfect afterwards, but we could be very, very new, so that by the time we come to Easter with the resurrection, we can be a little bit more of the new person God is making us into every day. So I challenge you to think about that. I know life's busy. I'm not busy, but I know y'all are probably busy. That was a joke. I'm very busy because Pastor Hours left. But even with all of that, in some kind of sacrificial way, find something that you can give up and replace it with spending time in prayer and studying the Word of God, because we know, both with the promises of God and with the things we're finding in scientific studies of our brains, that Lent is enough time for the Holy Spirit to change us for the better forever, for the rest of this life, And if we look at this gospel message that we've heard, then that little bit of sacrifice in response, not to add to our redemption, but that little bit of sacrifice in response is not a bad thing. We can never repay what's been done to us, but if we're going to focus on our shortcomings, we can sacrifice a little bit to let God change us into the new people that he loves us enough to make us into. Amen. let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in the feeding of the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. We invite all baptized Christians to join us for the imposition of ashes and for Holy Communion. We do have a gluten-free option. If you need it, just let us know. Please stand for our post-communion blessing. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you to eternal life. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. go in peace.